Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish, I'm being shady-ish.
I'm going to find me, Darren!
Boring!
You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, and welcome to Pulse of the Nation. Forgive me if I'm all a fluster. I've just been given a cheeky wink by my co-host today, Jake Steers. He's sent me all doolally at the very start of the show. He'll be joining me in just a moment. We'll also have Milo Edwards in the studio. He's been struggling, wrestling with a Lime bike, but he'll also be here very soon. So we'll have a pretty stacked roster right from the start. And then later on the show, we'll be talking to Scarlett Moffat, the legend from Gogglebox and I'm a Celebrity and all sorts of things like that. We'll be talking to her about her pet peeves. But for now, as we do every week, let's have a quick look at the news. I say quick, I've been a bit distracted this week, and there's been a lot going on, to be honest. Always positive news. Of course, England win the Women's Rugby World Cup. That's some lovely stuff. And yeah, that's about it. That's about it on good news, really. It's been a very interesting week. There's some stuff breaking right now at this moment, because Keir Starmer is giving his Labour Party conference speech. So that something might be, you know, revealed by the end of the show. But right now, we're just sort of going off of what might be introduced. For example, digital IDs are being talked about a lot. To crack down on illegal working, because of course the main problem with illegal working is that they don't have, that they need IDs, but they don't, but they have no IDs anyway, because that's why the work's illegal. Yeah, what a perfect solution. Really have fixed everything there. I don't know why this is sort of a Tony Blair ideal that has come through into Keir Starmer's government. Starmer sort of leaning more heavily on Tony Blair to get through his premiership, by the sounds of it. Now, in terms of IDs, I've not needed an ID for a while now. I've got a receding hairline that has been, it's been on the retreat since my teenage years. I don't think I've been ID'd since the pandemic, I'll be honest with you. And I get it. I know, I find they come along, they think I don't need an ID, but do they have to be so aggressive when they hit the visibly over 25? Also, why does it have to say visibly over 25? Why can't it say something nice and gentle like, let the man have his monster, or yeah, it's probably fine? No, visibly over 25. And they press it so aggressively, trying to get out of the situation as soon as possible, desperate to no longer look upon my haggard wretch of a self. So yeah, IDs aren't very relevant to my life. I've not needed one for a long time, but this digital IT system, not ideal, shall we say. That's the sort of cutting satire and insight you can get here at Pulse Nation. Not ideal. But yeah, Tony Blair is seemingly more and more relevant in Keir Starmer's government. He's touted to be appointed the head of Gaza response. The UK government's head of Gaza response will be Tony Blair, because of course, famously, he's very, very good at sort of sorting out Middle Eastern issues. He's a little bit sort of like putting a brown bear in charge of your salmon farm, but nonetheless, that's what we're going for. Blair in charge of Gaza. Look, all the sort of other stuff I've got, I made a list of things. It's all very sort of depressing. The Riyadh Comedy Festival is going on, so all these comedians sort of taking hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to go and perform for the Saudi Arabian government. And, you know, hey, is it the worst thing? You know, oppressive regimes need a bit of entertainment, you know? That, like, the Chechnya Pride, of course, a few years ago, that was a big success. Obviously, everyone very happy about that. The Pyongyang Circus, everyone sort of loved the trapeze artists and everything. You know, we forget in history that there was actually a Reichstag review. You know, we remember Nazis for lots of horrible things that they did, but actually Himmler and Goebbels put on a lovely little sketch duo as part of sort of an annual entertainment festival. You forget that. They did Abbott and Costello's Verist Auf First Base. So, yeah, you know, history forgets that actually oppressive regimes need a little bit of entertainment too, and you know, fair play to the comedians going over to Riyadh to do that. And my final sort of thing that I noticed this week was obviously Netanyahu was sort of addressing the UN. Lots of controversy about the UN this week with escalators going awry and whatnot. But when Netanyahu got up to address the UN, there was a mass walkout. People left the conference hall to sort of stage a protest against Israel's genocide in the Middle East. But interestingly, I don't know if anyone noticed this, Netanyahu had brought his own props. Now, look, genocidal autocrat is one thing. But a prop comedian is unforgivable, okay? If you, like, but it's bad enough having a projector in your comedy set. And I've done it before. We've all made that mistake. But to not even, to print out, to have your own printouts, it is pathetic. You have to imagine them making it all up and printing it out. That's really sad. Anyway, it's definitely not the worst thing he's done, but it's up there for me. Now, in my co-host seat today, and indeed in my... Oh my goodness, he's here. He's here. He's rocking a Huel-branded T-shirt. Perfect timing, actually. Thank you, producer Kieran, for being hot on the button there. Let me bring up mic 2 and mic 4. I've got Jake Steers to my right. Hello, Jake.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. You've been here the whole... You've had to sit through my little sort of rant there.
An absolute treat.
A treat. Oh, thank you very much. That's very kind of you. But to my left, Johnny come lately, wrangling a line bike.
Hello, hello.
Milo Edwards, hello.
Yeah, I can only apologise for the Huel T-shirt. I was intending to keep my jumper on.
Yeah.
But I got too hot cycling here, so I've had to reveal my secret SponCon deal with Stephen Bartlett, unfortunately.
Well, that's great. As if we can get a kickback on the show, I wouldn't mind so much.
Yeah, fantastic.
Dire of a CEO money. What was wrong with your line bike?
The first two line bikes had the left pedal broken off, which is a fairly significant fault with a line bike, I would say.
Can you pedal a bike with one pedal?
You can. I think probably especially a line bike, actually, because you could just keep the electric motor.
If you're committed,
yeah. But the third one just had no power, and they're so heavy.
Yeah.
So it was basically just cycling a line bike with no electricity, which was quite annoying. But I was by this point, I'm so late that I just have to deal with it. And that's why I'm very sweaty now.
Oh, no. Look, take a breath. Take some water. I appreciate your efforts in coming here.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, thank you for joining me. Now, we were just going over some news items. But you are two diametrically opposed guests, in my mind.
We are on opposite sides of the table. It's very true. Yeah.
The tension's rising.
Not necessarily politically, but I feel like Milo, you have a very sort of informed stance on things. I think you're quite a sort of news on the button sort of guy.
You're setting this up brutally for Jake.
Yeah, I really am. If news night was down a host very last minute, I think you could step up to the plate.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, Jake, you are a man of pure vibes.
Pure vibes.
Pure vibes. I love it. It's a chaos that we need in our life. How are you with the news? Do you follow?
Yeah, I actually very up to date on the news. I read books every week. Yeah, geopolitics, history. This is a curveball.
This is a what?
A curveball.
A curveball. Well, you're wearing a baseball jersey, perhaps. The thing is, I can't tell whether this is actually true or whether you're doing a bit.
No, good. Go to my Goodreads. Check it out. Yeah.
What's your Goodreads account?
Jake's this.
What's the best thing you've read recently?
I read the Rise and Fall of Napoleon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don't spoil the ending for us.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of in the title there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not going to go end well. I'm being very upset to you, but you've got a very chaotic stage persona.
Very crazy.
You go through the Midwest of America gigging, sort of just going, come on, you slags.
Yes, I do, and I antagonise them, and most of the time it goes terrible.
Now, you've gigged in the Midwest of America, which is a very interesting place politically. Mm. You've gigged in Russia.
Oh, wow.
I have, yeah.
How was that?
The Midwest of the world.
Yeah,
pretty crazy. Yeah, I used to tour Russia doing stand-up in Russia. I used to be a Russian TV comedian. I think that's probably the key bit of the puzzle. I didn't just do this off my bat. I wasn't just what if I did a tour of Russia? I mean, I would say that they're not very used to what we would call stand-up comedy in that country. Their sense of humour is actually quite similar, but they were just trying to, basically, TV comedy had just become a thing, and they were trying to astroturf club comedy into existence throughout Russia. And so what that meant was, a lot of times you were doing stand-up for pretty good money, but in a restaurant organised by a local enthusiast. So it'd be I don't know what the equivalent... It would be if you had, someone like Josh Widdicombe or Ramesh Ranganathan doing a set for, 200 people in just, a big restaurant somewhere in, Grimsby to people who had, never seen stand-up before, but, for his usual fee. That was sort of the bizarre element of it.
Was it state-sponsored then? Or was it just,
It was sort of I was on the sort of Russian equivalent of Channel 4. It was kind of the biggest entertainment station. And they kind of ran comedy in Russia. It was technically a private company, but it was owned by Gazprom, which is, of course, owned by people very closely connected to the Russian government. So it's not a million miles away from the state at any one point. But yeah, it was arm's length, you could say.
Right. Do you still have a level of recognition in Russia? Could you still go do a little arts centre tour?
I think so. I think people... forget about you there pretty quickly, but I still have, I think on Instagram, Moscow is still like my fourth highest city by like followers or something.
Wow, impressive. Yeah,
that is pretty, that is very impressive.
Utterly useless.
The Kremlin.
Not going to be going back there anytime soon, let me tell you. Not going to be selling any whips over there.
I will say in defence of the Russian people that I'm not surprised that they sort of forget quickly. You sort of have to as a survival mechanism going, oh no, I don't think I ever had an uncle actually. Yes, he's just gone. We'll take him out of the family.
Forget happens. What the ruble used to be worth, etc, etc.
Remember the good old days. Yeah. The Soviet.
Now, this is bar sort of a news show. It is the loosest thing. But have you both been told it's uncensored? You can.
Oh wow!
You can say whatever you like. Mm. There is no Ofcom regulation here.
It's like Comedy Unleashed.
It really is.
The boys are back.
I wish Andrew Doyle would reply to my emails, but he refuses to come on the show. That is obviously a joke.
It's too woke.
Yes. It's too woke for him. I was about to say that let's not talk badly of my employer. But they went in an interesting direction for a couple of years with Mark Dolan and Katie Price hosting a show here. So
we're interesting duo.
What, Katie Price like Jordan?
Katie Price and Mark Dolan had a two-hander here at Football Radio.
I would have thought Katie Hopkins would have been more Mark Dolan speed.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sure. Actually, maybe they meant Katie Hopkins. You know when you're just like,
it was a mix-up. Turns up.
Yeah,
she'll do.
Yeah.
Peter Andre was hosting an incredibly fucked up podcast that week.
We are back on the tracks now. Fubo Radio, a very respectable station. I've got some like little news stories that have landed on my desk here. Obviously, we've got the big news of the UN and Tony Blair. And before we get into this silly headline, did you see the Labour politician at the conference calling Ed Davey a fat man in a wetsuit?
No, I've not.
Have you seen this?
Is that a fat man in a wetsuit, or is that a fat man in a wetsuit as in the surfing?
I believe the surfing. I think the implication is, because they're Davey's sort of policy of you know, promoting the Liberal Democrats to sort of just to wander through the middle aisle of a Lidl and go, yeah, let's do that. So I think...
Yeah, helter-skeltering, tobogganing.
So I think he's alluding to that sort of nature of Ed Davey's campaigning. But he said, well, I think I've got the clip here on. Oh, here we go. Let's see if you can hear this.
But what Britain needs to tackle fraud is a vision. And the vision they need is not a fat bloke in a wetsuit, which is what the Lib Dems have got to offer.
A fat bloke in a wetsuit.
It smacks of jealousy to me. They all want what Ed Davey has, which is the sort of serene, unbothered moistness. He's seal-like.
Serene, unbothered moistness. Mm. They should put that on the pamphlets. I'd vote for that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that I 100% support Ed Davey's politics, but he's probably like the most likable politician that we currently have.
Yeah, it's a low bar, but he's definitely at the top of it. It got a lot of sort of attention, that quote sort of just being like, well, is this what Labour have got, just fat shaming other politicians?
So what you mean about the Labour cabinet, they are quite thin. Maybe they're trying to like a mean girls approach. They're trying to like, you know, bully all the other politicians into like getting bulimia.
My
or
goodness,
something.
That would be. I mean, obviously the eating disorder element wouldn't be fantastic, but I would love to hear the burn book.
Oh wow,
the British politics burn book.
You can't sit with us.
Who do you think would be writing the burn book? Which politicians?
If it doesn't have to be a Labour, surely it has. So if it has to be a Labour minister. Oh, I don't know, actually. They're all quite pathetic. Yeah. Maybe Wes Streeting. He's sort of... I think he's got a bit of snide under...
Wes Streeting looks like he's been inflated, but only like 25%. You know the movie Live and Let Die, where Roger Moore like kills the villain by shooting him with this like gas gun that sort of makes him explode?
Yeah.
Wes Streeting looks like he got shot with that, but like a millisecond ago.
Can we get a picture
that
of Wes Streeting?
That would be what I would put in the. That'd be what I would put in the burn book.
Because I picture of Wes Streeting, which is always sort of very smug. I buy that, but I do want to see this visibly. I want to see this visibly. Yeah, I don't want to see it mentally. I want to see it visibly. Let's have a look. Careful, Kieran almost revealing his tabs. Yes. Oh my goodness, that is a very good description of the man. Wow,
he's got great skin.
Have a little Google of that at home. Yeah,
he's very smooth, Playmobil like the haircut as well.
Lovely skin. I can only dream of that.
I think Jake fancies.
You're doing the body positivity political strategy. Yeah.
Well, look, we are going to let you have a little Google of Wes Streeting. We're going to let Jake calm down a little bit from his crush on Wes Streeting. We're going to head into a break. We'll be back in about 3 minutes, and we'll get into this teabagging story, which is not as the title might suggest. Ooh.
FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. Scarlett Moffat is away. We're in the Zoom waiting room, so we're being left on tenterhooks. Now, Milo, you don't know necessarily Scarlett's oeuvre, shall we say.
Yeah.
You're not familiar with... What questions? Having just heard the name Scarlett Moffat, I've told you she's here to promote some decor pet peeves. What's your go-to question for a celebrity you've never heard of?
We're waiting for Miss Moffat. We're sat on a toffer, you could say.
Good. Look at that.
What would my question be? Give me a 30-second rundown of your career trajectory so far.
Here we go.
So I can get my head around it.
That is, I think maybe that would be a nice sort of refreshing thing, because I assume how this normally works is there's a Zoom link and multiple outlets to sort of jump in and out, like a sort of digital like press day. So that would be nice for her. Just to be like, hey, who are you?
Yeah, because I mean, so far, the first I'm encountering her is as VAR's salesperson.
Yes, for home sets.
And I'm like, wow, that's a hell of a radio gig to get. I'm here to promote the concept of VARs.
The concept of VARs. I love that. I think, well, that normally... Hello, there we go.
Hello.
Right, let's put the Zoom fader up.
Hi, guys. Got Scarlett here for you now.
Oh, amazing. Hello. Hi, Scarlett.
Hello. Oh, you all look fabulous.
Well, you look wonderful yourself. I love that shirt.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
It's gorgeous. welcome to the show, Scarlett Moffat of Gogglebox, I'm a Celeb, and just generally being a lovely person fame. How are you today?
That is so kind. Thank you. What an introduction.
Oh, you're very well. Very welcome. Very deserved. We were just discussing, so you're here today. We're going to talk about some of the pet peeves and decor battles that go on in people's homes. Where are you? To describe the decor of the room you're in at the moment.
Oh, well, I'm actually in a voice over booth. So it's a little bit like a see-through prison. I'd imagine this is what people spend solitary confinement in. Padded walls and glass.
you're like the David Blaine of Home Sense.
Yeah.
David Blaine, yeah, I remember watching that. When he got strung up in London, didn't he, in that box?
Yes. Although you make
not
sound
by
like
the
a
neck.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's funny. He was just, how long was he there? It was like
7 weeks.
Seven weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Was he though?
Conspiracy.
Big question. Anyway, we're not here to promote.
That's what happens when you book a centre parks on the cheap.
Yeah. You just end up suspended above Trafalgar Square. I will get producer Kieran in the background to Google David Blaine to find out what he's up to. But for now, let's get into the meat of, if we can use that word, the meat of this data. 79% admit to quietly readjusting cushions after someone else has arranged them, and 71% admit to switching off big lights after someone else turns them on. Are you a sort of perfectionist when it comes to this home decor stuff? Are you rearranging other people's work?
Well, do you know what? When HomeSense did all this research, it made me feel so much better, because me and Scott, who we're getting married next year, these are the, we'll say, friendly debates that we have in the house. So I am an autumnal person. As soon as it struck to autumn, I was like, we'll get the wreaths out, pumpkin spice candles, orange cushions. I did the whole bedroom, very autumnal. 8 new cushions on the bed. I thought, I've made the house a home. He's going to be buzzing. He walked in and just started laughing and went, well, what's the point of all these cushions?
That I'm is too many to cushions.
You agree?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think you need no more than 4 cushions.
Agreed.
On it. Yeah. Well, do you agree?
No, I do. I think it's crazy. You're making work for yourself. You're taking like 7 cushions off the bed every night before you go to bed.
I'm so sorry, Scott. You've accidentally tuned into a bit of a bro podcast here. We're actually sort of the Joe Rogan of British radio.
why can't you have a football on a bed?
Yeah. But so do you actually sleep with all 8 cushions, or are you taking them off at night?
No, I take them off at night, but that's not the point, is it? I'm making the home feel ambiance and a vibe.
I'm creating
a home here.
How many people are visiting your bedroom for the ambiance?
Just me and Scott.
Oh, so yeah, it's just
sometimes not even him, because he's on night shift.
Well, do you know what? My partner is massively in agreement with you. He is very big on seasonal decoration, seasonal scents especially. He has a cupboard of like candles that he will switch out. Now we're coming into autumn, he'll have like, you know, pumpkin-y candles and stuff. Are you on the scent? Is it a full, complete picture? Is it a holistic overview? Cushions, scents, everything?
The first, do you know, like how the first bite is with the eye? the first sense of a home is with the nose. And I agree. So September, October, full pumpkin spice. As soon as Halloween's been, here comes on the cinnamon. Bring on the cinnamon. Bring on the gingerbread smells. Because honestly, it just, you're just transported into a Christmas wonderland then.
If they, if Home Sense do not renew your contract for Christmas with a big picture of you, a billboard saying "Bring on the cinnamon," that would be, frankly, a marketing travesty if they don't do that. what's your sort of home decor like, Jake? Are you seasonally switching things out?
No, not at all. I think I've got two beds. Two duvet sets.
What are the headline fragrances, would you say?
Oh, a bit of lavender. I've got a bit of lavender.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a big lavender fan, yeah. But that's just all year round.
Just lavender. 365 days of the year.
Keep it simple.
Yeah, maybe one day I'd change up a little bit, but yeah. Okay. Undecided.
What about you? Are you a bit more adventurous, Milo?
No, not really. I'm no cushions.
No cushions. Thank you, Scarlett. That is mad.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I thought was too much, but no is ridiculous.
I've got pillows, to be clear.
Yeah, of course, not a monster.
This isn't some kind of like ideal male living space that we're talking about here. I'm not sleeping in a clothes nest on the floor.
Yeah. Do you have any teddies or anything like that?
No. I think anything that comes between me and getting in bed is a problem. That's my. I'm practical.
Where's the texture in your house? Where's your texture?
Oh, there's texture. Don't you worry about that. There's if anything too much texture. There's bits of my kitchen floor that I've been trying to get rid of the texture of for ages, but it just won't go.
I'm a bit of a middle ground. I think these two are a bit too minimalist for my liking. Eight cushions is maybe excessive, but I'd love a couple. Now, as you said, you're getting married next year. Wedding upcoming. What is the decor of the wedding going to look like? Have you thought that far ahead?
Now, can I be totally honest with you? And the more that I talk about this, the more stressed I'm getting, right?
Yeah.
So we booked our wedding venue 3 weeks ago and we get married in about 7 months and all we've booked is the venue and we haven't even decided who's coming to the wedding yet. And I messaged a couple of companies about dresses because I was like, oh, that's important. And they were all like, yeah, so the lead time
the big
is
ones?
Like 12 to 18 months. And I was like,
what?
Sorry, Jesus. That amount of time.
Surely that's not every place is that far booked up. A year, over a year.
Even like entertainment, like I was messaging people like, hey, can you sing at my wedding? And they're like, oh yeah, 2027. I'm like, no, like 2026. And like, no, we've booked up. And I'm like, what?
That's great. Well, not to sort of agent ourselves here, but you are talking to three stand-up comedians if you're looking for some entertainment for your wedding.
Yeah.
Master of ceremony, anyone?
Yeah,
there we go. God, 18 months for a wedding dress. Who's making that, Crossrail?
Yeah. Do you think you might have to postpone if you can't get everything together, or is it just let's see what happens?
Now, hey, I got an A star in my GCSE textiles, so don't you worry.
Oh, here we go.
I will be able to knock a little bad boy number up, so I'm not stressing.
Oh, yeah.
Weddings are meant to be fun, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm not getting stressed about it.
No, good. I'm very glad to hear that.
This really sheds a sharp relief on those guys on Don't Tell the Bride who are like trying to book the wedding the day before.
Yeah. Oh,
if people are saying like, oof, a year ahead, that's a bit short notice, mate.
Yeah, I feel for them. Now, you have definitely given me some sympathy for those contestants. Now, look, we're coming into a series of massive reality TV moments. I don't know whether Jake and Marla, whether you're reality TV people. Looking at me blankly.
See by the shaking heads, the answer is no.
Yes, yeah. obviously, you rose to fame on Gogglebox as one of the standout personalities. Been in the jungle with I'm a Celeb. Strictly Come Dancing's just started. What are your predictions for the winter ahead on reality TV? Is there a person or a show that you're particularly looking out for?
Well, so I just did Big Brother's Late and Live last night because that was the launch and that was amazing. Like, that was so much fun. I love reality TV. I actually think it's quite, anthropological?
Yes, yeah, I can see that.
You know, like, I think it's really interesting just watching humans in different situations, and I think it tells us a lot about ourselves and the world that we're in. So I am obsessed with, like, things like Big Brother and I'm a Celebrity and Strictly, because I think it's, like, putting people in pressure cookers, and it's just really interesting to see how different personalities handle that.
Mm.
But There's a guy called Lewis who is on Strictly who is amazing. He played Billy Elliot back in the day. And he...
That's cheating, isn't it?
He's from where I'm from. So I really want him to win.
Yeah.
Not just because he's from County Durham, but because he's amazing. But yeah, I love it. It feels like Christmas. As soon as Strictly starts, I start and, you know, get the Argos catalogue and start circling stuff I want.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. What a nostalgic throwback. You get me feeling quite festive. Now, look, well, yeah. As we are sort of hurtling towards Christmas, we've already established that you're in a studio full of men who do not decorate their homes enough. Now, look, this is asking a lot of sort of having a professional interior design service, but you got an A-star in GCSE textiles. You're wearing a lovely top. You might be the person best placed to help us. Could you recommend each of us an item to improve our homes?
Oh, well, I feel like definitely... Sorry, I didn't catch your name with a black on.
Oh, sorry, I'm Milo.
Hi, Milo.
Hello.
Get a cushion, will you, mate?
A cushion for Milo.
At least one cushion. You've got to find me the most masculine cushion available.
Yeah. What? Hey, toxic masculinity. Throw it away. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you're not masculine because you like a cushion. It just means that you appreciate fine things and comfort.
I live in Essex. I can't be too careful. You don't know who might come round. They might send the inspectors round.
Well, we'll find...
I might get strung up in a Perspex box.
We'll find a masculine and easily hideable cushion for you. And then finally, an item for Jake, who has lavender all year round.
Yeah,
Jake, do you know what? I feel like... I think just treat yourself to another candle.
Another candle.
You know, you deserve more than just lavender life.
Any particular smell or flavour? Flavour? I'm not tasting it.
Flavour. Please don't eat the candle.
I'm tempted.
Pumpkin spice, definitely.
Ooh, okay. There you go.
You look like a pumpkin spice kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I'll take it, yeah.
I can see that. Well, look, thank you so much for joining us, Scarlett. We really appreciate your time. Have a lovely, lovely rest of your day.
Oh, thank you, and you three.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The wonderful Scarlett Moffat there, who's hopefully improved our home decors there. Are you going to take that? Obviously, I know you have some reservations about the cushion, but would you explore?
I'm going straight to TK Maxx and buying every pumpkin spice candle. And make a shortage nationwide.
Going to make sure that no one else, that you're sort of, you're going to be touting them.
Yeah, 100%. They're selling down the market.
Pumpkin
you
spice
scalper. You do have a bit of a Del Boy sort of Only Fools vibe. Yeah, yeah. I can see a sort of lorry full of candles that fell off the back of another lorry.
Yeah, maybe that would be Del Boy these days. Yeah, cashing in on the pumpkin spice trend.
Oh, dear. Oh, my goodness. Well, look, I teased this teabagging story. We'll do this before we go into our next break.
As one often does.
What a phrase. Yeah. Tease the
teabag. Well, apparently, this teabagging is a new phenomenon, which isn't actually related to the sort of testicular teabagging. It stands for...
That we know and love.
The institution of the British economy. I don't know if that's quite the where I'm meant to go with that sentence. Yeah. But
if you know what teabag is, it's when you leave your nuts on the draining board just to dry out before you put them in the bin so they don't go mouldy.
This apparently is stands for ticket bagging, where on a busy train, if you've reserved a seat, somebody else sits in your seat. And by virtue of it being so packed, they argue that, like, well, what am I supposed to do?
I think what they've done is they've done a lot of violence there to try and get that to be teabagging. That's what's happened there. Yeah. Someone wanted to call something innocuous teabagging, and they were like, how can I work backwards to that? How can I get read out on a radio station?
Exactly. Well, this is Lydia Wilson. Well, we'll read her out, if that's what she wanted, clearly.
Mm, yeah, teabag enthusiast.
A video that hit nearly 400,000 views, which isn't a lot of views. And here it is as a news story.
Well, like it's of quite a lot of views, but it doesn't really feel like the news.
No, that's not something you're going to see at 10 o'clock news, is it?
But they do that sometimes, like the
well, the last time that happens was when that woman put the cat in the bin.
Oh, yeah, but that's...
That was the first...
That was a generational moment.
Yeah. Yeah, Julie. Yeah. That was...
Is that her actual name?
What?
Is that her actual name, Julie?
No. I said Julie.
I thought you said Julie on first name basis.
I did a show ages and ages ago where we had to like go through like sort of British TV moments, and we were doing the cat bin lady, as she was known. And it's genuinely mad when you go back and see how much news coverage there was, and like fully serious news coverage about like, this is a disgrace, something should be done. Like, it's truly incredible.
I wonder what her, because that must have ruined her life once she was identified. As you said, because it was huge, it was so much coverage.
Yeah, I think it kind of did. And then, of course, it eventually just blows over.
Yeah.
Yeah, she should come on here. She should promote actually. Home sex.
Yeah. Can we get
listing her favourite bins? Well, you could definitely get a cat in there.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, hates one of those bathroom pedal bins. She does.
Yeah. I would love that. Yeah, if we could get on Cat Bin Lady, that'd be great. We've had quite a few interesting. We had the Why Are You Gay Man.
Simon
Grangula. He was at episode 4.
That must have been a real meeting of the minds.
It was really interesting. People waiting for the catchphrase. He did deliver.
Okay,
but it was me and Sean Wan Joey just trying to convince him that there were gay people in Uganda. He was like, no, my home country has no gay people. And we're like, there is. They do.
Denial.
Yeah. But fortunately, Jake and I both agreed there were gay people in Uganda in the first minute of the show, so there's been no need to do that. That was the sort of unanimous accord
that we struck right at the beginning.
We ticked that box on the form before we came on.
I insist before I have any of the guests, ever since the Simon Grangula incident.
Other African nations, think what you want. Yeah, but Uganda as an LGBT community.
100%. He did concede that gay people didn't deserve to die, at the very least. So
somewhere got some ground.
Now, what a transition into this promotional...
That's why it's actually woke having a homosexuality punishable by death in Uganda, because there's no gay people in Uganda, so it's sort of moot.
It doesn't
affect anyone. You can do whatever you want to gay people in Uganda, because they're not there, so it's fine.
Again, I wish there was a better way to promote your tour, Milo, but that's the transition I've been left with.
Much like gay people, there are no Ugandan dates.
No Russian dates. There's two shows. You're obviously doing your tour, How Revolting, Sorry to Offend, which is a more national affair, but you're also doing a special recording of your previous show, Sentimental, at Underbelly Boulevard.
Yes, that actually happened on Saturday.
Oh, it's already been gone?
Yeah, yes. But that will be released at some point.
So. Amazing. Is it? Oh, I see.
And you could even watch it in Uganda.
There you go.
Get a VPN, or is it?
I think you could probably just. Unless there's some kind of like firewall in Uganda, I don't know.
Unless you say
the great Ugandan firewall.
I'm on a list of known homosexuals in Uganda, so any content from me is blocked, so you will need a VPN.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
watching pornography in Starbucks prison.
I'm sorry that I had duff information there. It's already been and gone. You've missed the recording, but it will be released at some point. Underbelly Boulevard, by the way. What a lovely venue.
Yeah.
Was it a good recording?
I'll tell you what, just go there when there's nothing on and just have a sit.
Have a little mooch around.
The background looks a lot like the set of Parkinson.
Oh, I can see that. It's got a sort of, very sort of...
Tonight we've got a fantastic stand-up comedy show for you this evening.
We've got
Rod Stewart here. We've got Gordon Ramsay.
What a combo, Rod Stewart and Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, I did actually watch an episode of Parkinson that had Rod Stewart and Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, really? I can't... You know what? I don't even picture Parkinson sort of crossing over with Gordon Ramsay.
He was going into the late 2000s, I feel like. Yeah. I think this was sort of mid, maybe 2005. But that was peak Ramsay, I think.
Hell's Kitchen was rife at the moment. Couldn't escape.
I feel... Well, there's several things I want to pick up here. First of all, we're underutilising your amazing impressions here. You've dropped in Starmer a couple of times to a great effect. Parkinson there... Beautiful stuff.
Not a lot of demand for Parkinson.
Something's coming to my head about Rod Stewart, which I'll come to in a minute. But first of all, Jake, do you have any impressions under your belt?
Oh, no, you've set me up for failure here.
I keep screwing you over this whole show. I'm so sorry.
No impressions.
No, that's all right.
No, that's okay.
What about accents? Any accents? Ugandan?
Do you know, I do practice that in the mirror every day, and it's still not there.
Still not there.
It's
just, that's all right.
It's just, I've been practicing this one, Ugandan. It's just, why are you gay? That's what it's about.
Yeah, Ugandan, everyone can do that one phrase.
Yeah, exactly. It's ingrained in our national psyche.
It's like how in French everyone knows voulez-vous coucher avec moi. In Ugandan English, everyone knows why are you gay.
Part of their national anthem.
and also with you.
I'll leave the Rod Stewart thing on the back seat. I had an idea for a Fringe show next year. I've got a drag persona called Jan Honkers.
Subtlety is the name of the game.
It's actually an anagram of John Kearns, which is how it came about.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. But I was going to do a one-off show called A Rod for My Own Back, the one-woman drag musical jukebox of Rod Stewart's music.
I love Rod Stewart, so I'd be there.
There you go, that's all I need. I thought of it this week, and you've now given me the go ahead. That will be at the Fringe next year.
I was at his Glastonbury set.
Oh really?
With my mates who mostly didn't really know any Rod Stewart songs. I'm like on mushrooms, like crying, and everyone else is like, we think we're gonna go, and I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. I'm loving this.
Did you see... Oh, go on.
I was going to say, what songs does he say? All I know is, why do you think I'm sexy?
You
were.
Why do you think I'm sexy? The Ugandan version.
Why do you think I'm
sexy? Why are you sexy?
Oh, amazing. What a Freudian slip that is. Yeah. That's amazing. Oh, amazing. Sailing, of course.
Maggie May.
Mandolin Wind.
First Cut is the Deepest.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He does a wonderful...
I don't want to talk about it.
Handbags and Glad Rags. I don't want to talk about it. It's amazing. Yeah. Mm. He's got a really good back catalogue.
And this is something to listen to. Whilst on Mushrooms, because
pretty good. To be honest, I think that I was mostly connecting with it on Mushrooms because there's such a deep family history of Rod Stewart. I don't think it was necessarily like the music itself. I think maybe if you didn't have the long-standing connection to Rod Stewart, I don't think it would necessarily interact with the Mushrooms in any particular way.
I also have a deep family history of Rod Stewart. My mum's first album was Transatlantic Crossing, and their first dance, my parents, was Sailing.
Wow, there you go. Yeah, no, huge. My mum, massive Rod Stewart fan.
I didn't realise I was in a room full of Rod Stewart fans.
Yeah. My favourite work of his, probably the AI videos of dead people. Did you see that?
No.
Did you not see this? Oh, my goodness. I wonder if Kieran could get on the... when Ozzy Osbourne died, Rod Stewart was doing a concert and he had these big screens behind him and it was of dead musicians in heaven. It was like an AI-rendered video. Wow. Did you not see this?
I've seen something similar, which is at Glastonbury. He had just, like, it was proper, like, he'd got Sharon in his office to do some graphics for the screen. And there was a bit where, like, they talked about Christine McVie, and it just brought up this, like, you know when someone's dead, they do that, like, very, like, faded picture of them with that almost, like, the halo glow around the edge. And it was, like, Christine McVie and her dates. And then he, like, sang a song that she'd written, and I was like, this is mad. This is, like, proper, like, your nan's done graphic design, and it's, like, on the big screen at Glastonbury.
That's amazing. Well, this is very in keeping with that tradition of Rod Stewart's sort of... Canva subscription, if you will. So like there's an AI of Michael Jackson with Ozzy Osbourne there.
I love the selfie stick.
Yeah, selfie stick. They're stood on clouds.
I'd imagine Ozzy Osbourne wouldn't be too happy about that.
No.
Like, of all the people, like the implication is that Ozzy Osbourne's gone to heaven and immediately chosen to hang out with notorious paedophile Michael Jackson. That was the first thing. Sharon, he did nothing wrong, Sharon. He was a misunderstood man.
So it's
not my best impression.
It was still pretty good. It's not in your pantheon, but it's still like pretty decent. So here's the four AI images. So it's Ozzy Osbourne with a selfie stick with Freddie Mercury, Tina Turner, Michael Jackson, and Kurt Cobain. I was going to say Mitch Hedberg, but it's not. It's Kurt Cobain. So I'm surprised you haven't seen this.
They've made Kurt Cobain's really cleaned himself up, hasn't he? Is he a born again Christian because he's in heaven?
I guess so.
I suppose it is true.
This is another thing you have to look up. Please go look up Wes Streeting's sort of half inflated smooth face that Jake Steers loves so much, and look up these AI Rod Stewart images.
I've also just noticed that you're using Bing. How crazy is that?
I don't know. The studio Google is... Well, the studio Google is set to Bing. That just shows you how...
The studio Google is set to Bing. I said, wow, okay, that's Bing. We're not using Google anymore. It's woke. We've set Google to Bing. I'm signing an executive order today that Google is now Bing.
It just felt like something Trump would say.
That was beautiful. I love. I don't think we're going to get any better than that. I think we have to have a break, and we'll come back in about 3 minutes with more Milo Edwards and Jake Steers.
FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. With me in the studio, the wonderful Jake Steers, the fantastic Milo Edwards. Now, I wanted to give Milo a clean chance at a promotion without my date fuck-ups, without sort of weird news stories. Some good, clean fun for your tour. How revolting! Sorry to offend. I felt the need to read out the punctuation there. I think it adds to the title.
Yes, yeah, I think... Well, it's something that my girlfriend at the time, her grandmother, said in a group chat in response to a picture that we had sent to the group chat, and as soon as I read this message, I was like, that should be the title of an Edinburgh show, and I kind of worked backwards from there.
Nice,
because there's something just so weird about the juxtaposition of how revolting and then sorry to offend.
What's the show about? So the title came first, and then a sort of a retrofitted show.
Yeah, I already had something I wanted to talk about, which is like class and the peculiar way that it's constructed in the UK, where I think basically we have a sort of, most of our understanding of class is entirely coloured by signifiers that have no real like material relevance. Like it's all about sort of like how you sound or like where you're from or like whatever. But like how much like money and power you have doesn't seem to come into it in the UK. And so, yeah, I thought it'd be quite interesting to deconstruct that. And then as it happens, the sort of the how revolting, sorry to offend comment kind of works. Because, again, it's like this idea of like what is sort of like appropriate and proper behaviour and like what isn't. And so, yeah, I kind of like all my shows. It's sort of like social, political commentary, I guess, but woven through with a lot of silly stories. There's a long anecdote in there about how it turned out that my girlfriend thought that maybe men had like a limited amount of cum that they're born with. like women's eggs.
Wow.
And the conversation that we had about that, which was great.
That's, cause, I mean, my first question is, because that's quite a lot of cum.
Yeah.
If there is a limit, and it's all in our body.
Yeah.
That's, surely there'd be some sort of extra, like a sort of tank, like a, you know, like an air tank on your back, sort of just full of your lifetime cum supply.
I think a lot of women aren't aware of how much cum men are producing. I think there's a,
you know, millions every especially when you're young.
Like they often say that men are quite ignorant of women's bodies, and I think that's probably true, like, you know, how the menstrual cycle works or whatever, but it's not often mentioned the extent to which like intelligent female friends of mine have asked me questions like they thought that like the liquid cum like came from the balls, so if you no longer had balls you could no longer cum. Things like that. I think it's, you know, open the schools, as Donald Trump once said, specifically for cum-based lessons.
Yeah, that should be, Keir Starmer's speaking right now. Hopefully that's his next conference announcement, is sort of like cum-based education.
Everyone will go back to school for a cum refresher course.
That sounds like, my world, a wonderful day out.
Not in a sexual way. This is woke education. About men's bodies.
I remember I went to like a science talk in like year 9 to like 14. And this guy I've got on my screen here, Robert Winston, who is this massive reproductive like expert. He's like really like at the forefront of IVF and stuff. He's giving this talk to this room full of teenagers, and he knew his audience spot on. He's pointed at this boy who I imagine had his life ruined, but, you know, that's the collateral damage for this amazing moment. He goes, right now, like, young woman, do you know what that man is doing right next to you? He is producing cum right now. Millions of semen. And
at that point, as the guy, you've got to stand up and go, that's right.
You've got to own it.
All the time. Never stop the grind.
But yeah, that's a moment that sticks in my memory. Just Baron Robert Winston, just pointing at this little boy.
Like Oprah. You're making cum. And you're making cum. I'm making cum.
That's so. Any cum thoughts?
I've just. I don't know where to begin on that. I'm just thrown by that. Like,
you've been busy making cum.
Well, I've been thinking about how much cum. How much cum have I made in this hour?
And now our listeners at home can wonder the same.
They're probably making cum as well. We're all making cum.
I wonder, and I'll see if I can get this from the Google.
Sad tragedy of Bonnie Blue, really, isn't it? That she'll never be able to extract cum at a higher rate than it's being produced. She'll never ultimately fulfil her quest.
Yeah, she's just always chasing this impossible dream.
What a soldier on the front line.
I want to
a
Google.
Noble pursuit. Ultimately doomed, but...
How much... I say Google, sorry, I'm going to Bing.
Much Bing. We wouldn't be putting cum-based questions into Google. This is more of a Bing-type question.
Here we go. I don't want the cells, I want, like, literage. All I've got is 10 to 500 trillion sperm cells, which is quite a big range. Here we go. That's per ejaculation. I don't want that.
In a lifetime? Yeah.
I'm so sorry for the...
None of us have been ejaculating. I can't...
This has been an ejaculate-free show. Yeah. although, maybe for your candle scents, I don't know. Well, that's something to explore down the line. I want sort of a litre amount, and I don't think I can do that without really ruining the station's internet search history. Let us know.
Yeah.
Oh,
they found out.
I'm getting this in my ears. 1 to 1.25 millilitres per ejaculation. Yeah, and then can we have how much ejaculation lifetime?
That's a PE figure.
That's rookie numbers.
Yeah.
Because like getting some Calpol or something.
Yeah, a tablespoon.
Yeah,
one of those little plastic. That's horrible. Yeah.
Not even. It's like a teaspoon.
Yeah.
Well, while that's being googled in the background, we'll have a number for you. But again, I'm so sorry that I keep doing this to your tour show, Milo.
The Financial Times are on the line. We're waiting for the cum numbers. When those goes up, the market moves, you know.
On the FTSE.
Yeah. Oh, well. That's only for the real perverts.
Honestly, you can cancel every other show at this station, Kieran. We can do the money show. We can do the politics
the
show.
Money shot,
we've
yeah.
got it all
yeah,
covered.
There we go.
We've got it all covered with Pulse the Nation. Again, yeah, I'm sorry to keep doing
Throb
this.
Throb of the Nation.
Throb of the Nation. Come on. Bit of fun. Milo, you can go get to miloedwards.co.uk or follow Milo at @Milo_Edwards to go get all your tour info for How Revolting. Sorry to offend.
Absolutely, yeah. Come learn about cum.
Come learn about cum. That's a great strap line.
Thank you.
You can follow Jake at Jake Steers Comedy. Performing all over the country, in the comedy
the trenches,
clubs.
Everywhere.
In the trenches, yeah. Have you had, because you are, as I said earlier, you go in guns a-blazing to gigs, you know, come on, you slags.
Blah, blah. Oh, yeah.
Has it ever gone, like, what's the most disastrously wrong it's ever gone?
One happened this year in Cornwall. It was like a good group of 100 people or so, and I walked on stage and said, give me a cheer if you want your independence. And they all cheered, and I said, come fight me for it. And two blokes got up and said, okay. And I was like, oh no, I'm only messing. And they said, no, this is really sensitive for us. And they followed me to my car, heckling me off to the show.
Wow.
Yeah, what? Yeah, 7 hours crying in the car home.
So, do you know what? Wow. Cornwall is so remote that they probably thought you were you could actually do something.
Oh.
They finally sent someone down from London. We can do it, Paul.
What a sorry state of affairs if they think I'm the man. I think this year in Texas, I walked on stage and said, give me a cheer if you've got guns. And everyone was like, oh, and I started calling them a bunch of pussies for using guns. Mm-hmm. And one bloke after the show said, do you want to see my gun? And I said, yeah, sure. He pulls it out and it's a big, massive fucking revolver. And curiosity, I was just like, can I hold it? And he was like, yeah, sure. So he takes out all the bullets, like pulls out the revolver, I was going to go. And I tell you what, unhinged behaviour. Yeah, like it's crazy.
Wow.
I'm just trying to think of a few others. But yeah, normally.
I think having two men threaten to fight you for the state of Cornwall.
Oh yeah,
and a man pulling his massive revolver on you that's enough.
Yeah,
yeah, that's enough.
Yeah. One of those three men was Rick Stein. You decide which.
Have you ever had a gun pulled on you or anything as extreme as that in your stand-up comedy travails?
I have actually had a gun pulled on me once.
Wow.
In Russia, but I will say. Anything that happens to you in Russia is like, you do take it with a pinch of salt, because it's like a lot of people just love drama. Like, I was at this, basically, I'd gone back from Spain, I'd been on holiday, flew into Moscow, I'd left my phone in the hire car in Spain, and my mates had taken it back to London. So like, the phone was not lost, but I didn't have it with me. So then my flatmate, I don't have keys to the flat, so I Skype him from my laptop in the airport using the Wi-Fi. And he's like, oh, I'm at this party, like out in the country, like come meet me there and then we'll go home together. And I'm like, sure. So I get a cab out to the middle of nowhere, didn't have my phones, couldn't get an Uber, so had to negotiate with like the mental like airport taxi drivers who are trying to scam you. And I'm like, I live here. The amount of people I told to fuck off before eventually, and then they're chasing me, like lowering the price with every time I say fuck off. Anyway, so then I get out to this party, it's like a rave in the middle of nowhere, and then I find my mate and I'm like, I've got a fucking suitcase, mate, like this is crazy. And he's like, no, it's all right, I know the guy who's running it. He's like, just come over here, and there's this like, old larder, and he like, I lock my suitcase in the boot, and he's like, yeah, just come find him again like when we want to go. I'm like, fine, whatever. Suddenly it's like 6 a.m. we're trying to leave. I'm like, oh, I need to go and find, so I find the guy. And then the guy's like, oh, I don't have the keys, there's a guy in the passenger seat, he's got the keys. So I go over there and there's a guy in the passenger seat of the car and he's asleep. And so I like knock on the door, and he kind of like wakes up a bit, and then I kind of like wave and I open the door, and he turns around and like points a Makarov in my face.
Oh,
and then he's like, you're trying to fucking rob me. And I was like, if I was trying to rob you, why would I have woken you up first?
Yeah.
And then he was like, good point.
Excuse me, I'm here to rob. Wow. Yeah. That's what wild lives you've both led to have guns pulled on you. Yeah. What a great selection of guests. Thank you both for coming in. Thank you to producer
Lovely
Kieran
to
for getting you in. Even though I could have just DM'd you, actually.
Yeah.
But I want to go through a third party. We need a mediator. Me and Jake, we've fallen out.
Yeah,
do we have any one last check on the cum number?
The cumber.
Less than a milliliter in a day. Oh, well, that's disappointing.
But that, the average ejaculation is more than that.
We don't have time to
hang on a minute. These numbers, what are they covering up?
This is fake news.
Do your own research, people. Thank you to Milo. You can follow Milo at Milo underscore Edwards. Jake at Jake Steers Comedy. Go see How Revolting. Sorry to Offend on tour. We are Pulse of the Nation here every week on FUBAR Radio. Thank you.
Bye bye.
FUBAR Radio.